At the recent Over 55s meeting in a little devotional time we had, I told a story about a Sunday school teacher. I was rather surprised to pick up the word for today this morning and find the same story there. But in fact, it was a story of a Sunday school teacher who, the week prior to Easter, gave the children in her class a hollow plastic egg. And she sent them home with it. And she said, "Next Sunday, bring it back with something in it that symbolizes the resurrection." When they came, she got the eggs and she took a bit of a chance because she opened the eggs and took out what was in it and explained it. And the first one she opened was a little flower. And she said, "This is great. It talks about the new life. And Christ brings new life." The second one had a little drawing of Jesus in it. And he said, "That's wonderful. Jesus is with us. He is alive. He is not dead. He walks with us every day. He is a presence in our lives." The next one had a nail in it. And she said, "That is fantastic. It was upon the cross he died for us. It was our sins that nailed him to that cross." Another one had a pebble in it. And she said, "That reminds us of the stone that was before the empty tomb, that was moved. And when they moved it, and when it was moved, the angels moved it, and it was empty inside." And then she came to the last egg. And it was an egg which little Philip had brought. He was just 9 years old. He was a mentally challenged boy. And she took the egg, and she was a little bit worried about what she would find when she opened it. And when she opened it, it was absolutely empty. And she was a bit flummoxed. And then little Philip spoke up, and he said, "Teacher, it is filled with emptiness. And so was the tomb when Jesus rose from the dead." How true that is, isn't it? That tomb was empty. Jesus rose. The angel said, "He is not here. He is risen." I love the question. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is risen. And that's the glorious truth that we celebrate anew this Easter Sunday. That Christ, this Jesus, who we know lived, he's a historical figure, that he actually died and he rose again because he is the Son of God. He did something no one has ever done since, because he rose never to die. And he continues to live today. And it's the foundation of all we believe, because it's only through the resurrection that we have this assurance of eternal life. You know, just think about death for a moment. It's not a subject we spend much time thinking about, is it? But you know, ever since this world was cursed because of sin, death has been the ultimate terror for most people in the normal way of things. It has been used over the ages as the final and most powerful threat by the thief: your money or your life. By the law, if you commit this terrible, terrible sin, we will execute you. By the manipulator: you don't do what I want you to do, then I would take my own life. By the dictator: if you do not follow my rules and commands, I will kill you and your family. And I guess it would have to be said, in our world today, that the majority of people have a fear of death. I read a story about three men who were talking to a fourth man, and the subject of death came up. And the fourth man asked each of the three men, "When you are in your coffin and friends and family are mourning you, what would you like to hear them say about you?" And they thought about it, and the first man said, "I would like to hear them say that I was a great doctor of my time and a great family man." And that's pretty good. The second said, "Well, I would like to hear them say that I was a wonderful husband and school teacher who made a difference to the children of tomorrow." It's really wonderful. The last replies, "I would like to hear them say, look, he's moving." You know, the amazing news about Easter is that death has been changed. That Christ has made it all different. That he has made death a doorway into a life for which we were originally created. We no longer have to fear it. And especially we don't have to fear it, for we know our days as well as our eternity are in God's hands. When the time is right, God will take us to himself. It will be as simple as that. And he will take us to a life without sin, without sorrow, without heartbreak, and without parting. I don't even have time to read my little story of the kite in the Participator. The up-to-date news is that the kite has been found by my granddaughter, and she is very happy. But, like that story, we will know freedom as we have never, ever known it before when we are with the Lord. I think we all have our wonder, well, what will heaven be like? We have this picture painted off by so many in our society, which is absolutely wrong, and we think, I don't like that, I can't even play the harp. But it's not going to be like that at all. There's going to be a freedom and a joy there beyond any joy that we know on this earth. But you see, that type of talk, when you think about it, all hinges on the actuality of Christ's resurrection. If he did resurrect from the grave, that's right, that's true. But if he didn't, then we are living in some sort of a fairy story. Paul addressed the same issue. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, he had this to say as he wrote to these people. In fact, in verse 13, he said, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. We have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But then he goes on and says, but Christ indeed has been raised. He has been raised. This is the truth that has survived the test of time for over 2,000 years. For over 2,000 years, many, many people have been trying to disprove that Christ rose from the dead. They haven't been able to. They haven't got the bones and shown us. They haven't lined up all the evidence against it because they haven't been able to. In fact, many have sat down to write books proving that Christ didn't come alive, and they've found out that he did and they've become Christians. In that passage, 1 Corinthians 15, that I read to you earlier, Paul states this. He said, the truth of the resurrection is confirmed in three ways. It's confirmed by the scriptures itself. He says in verse 4, what I received I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Because you see, the Old Testament scriptures that Paul had written centuries before the coming of Christ foretold his resurrection. We read about it in Psalm 16. We read about it in Isaiah 53. But I think the most wonderful thing is that Jesus himself foretold his resurrection. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 18, Jesus was speaking way before the Pharisees had even decided how they were going to get rid of Jesus. And he said this. He said, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. Jesus was saying all that way before he even got to Jerusalem. So it's confirmed by the scriptures. It's been confirmed by eyewitnesses, says Paul. Paul lists all those who saw the risen Lord, including 500 people who saw him at the same time. Some say they were all hallucinating. A bit hard to believe. But what Paul says, he says 500 saw him and they are still alive, at least most of them. If you want to go, go and check. And no doubt there were those who went and checked. And they came back and said, no, it's true. These guys saw the risen Lord. These people saw the risen Lord. But especially, says Paul, let me give you a third reason. It's confirmed by my own conversion. Paul was fanatically against Christians. Fanatically against them because they preached the resurrection. That's the one thing he couldn't take. That they could preach that this Jesus was alive again. And he was so against them that he actually went and locked out people who said that, locked them up. And he even had others murdered, had them condemned to death. And then, one day, on the Damascus Road, the risen Lord appeared to him. Physically, the Lord appeared to Paul. And that power of that appearance changed Paul completely. He became a man who was so full of Jesus, gave his life to present the truth of the resurrection, even died because he believed in the truth of the resurrection. Nothing less than Jesus alive from the dead could have accounted for such a change. Nothing less than that. John Stott, a famous preacher of our own age, writes, "Perhaps the transformation of the disciples of Jesus is the greatest evidence of all for the resurrection. It was the resurrection which transformed Peter's fear into courage, and James's doubt into faith. It was the resurrection which changed the Sabbath into Sunday, and the Jewish remnant into the Christian church. It was the resurrection that changed Saul the Pharisee into Paul the Apostle and turned his persecuting into preaching." I like that. Turned his persecuting into preaching. This Easter Sunday, we proclaim the truth and the power of the resurrection. We proclaim it clearly from this pulpit. But it doesn't matter what I proclaim. In the end, it's up to each one of you to accept it for yourself or not. If we choose to believe that Jesus did come alive again, then we know that he died for us upon the cross first. And we need to come to him and seek his forgiveness. But we also need to give our lives to him, that we will now live for him who died for us. Not to simply go our own way and not worry about him, but to make this ongoing commitment every day of our lives. That if this truly happened, then I can do no less than follow the one who's resurrected. Why? If he's resurrected, he's coming back. And I want to be following him when he does. And each believer is called to make that commitment every day. But if we choose to believe the resurrection, or at least in the sense of accepting that it happened, but then live a life that basically ignores Jesus, then in the end we will face death without a saviour. In fact, surely our position would be worse off than if we'd never heard of him. How much better to acknowledge that Jesus is truly alive and to seek his living presence. If indeed Jesus is alive, if there's a supernatural power that will dwell within people and transform them, then I want to know about that. And I do know about that, praise the Lord. and to know that power working in us. And if you don't, then ask the Lord to reveal himself to you, because you see, he has a purpose for you in life. That's the wonderful thing about the Word of God, because he has a life for you to live that will glorify his name, a life for you to live that will touch others, a life that will be used to prepare for his coming in glory, whatever that may be for you. It may be being the mother that the Lord wants you to be, so that your children come up believing in him. It may be being a neighbour to someone who has a need. Maybe being that work person in that office or that school or that uni or that place where you are one who stands for Jesus, so that others can see that and think there must be something, because that way that person stands for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe perhaps doing more than that, going forth in different ways. Whatever the Lord has you, he has a plan for your life. And this Easter Sunday, we accept anew that plan. Because you see, that plan is all part of what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to prepare for him. He wants us to make way in this world for the Lord, who will return one day. And by the Spirit of God, he will enable you to do that. If you trust him, believe him, and follow him. And it's us, Easter Sunday, we say, praise God, he is within my heart. I can say that. I trust you can this morning, and be part of that plan that God has for you.